last night a dream that the world had turned around. All our hopes had come to be, and the people gathered around. They all brought what they could bring, and nobody went with that. Other than a song to sing, the revolution starts now.
Good afternoon and welcome to Indie Media Live, one of the most progressive half hours on the radio, because we have no corporate sponsorship and no corporate control. Hope you'll stay tuned to hear what a difference that makes in bringing you the news. I'm your host, Rebecca Ferris, and I'm here every Tuesday introducing you to people who are passionately involved in the issues and causes that directly affect you and your family. I'm so excited today. Dr. Karen Davis is with us again, and we're going to be talking about the recent E. coli outbreaks and the benefits of veganism. But before we jump into that conversation, I'd like to remind everybody that this Saturday, the Richmond Vegetarian Festival is happening from noon until 6 o'clock in Bryan Park, Azalea Gardens of Bryan Park, to be exact. And if you want to find out more about this, veggiefest.org. Karen Davis is the founder and president of United Poultry Concerns, upc-online.org, and they are located right here in Virginia, down on the peninsula, down in Machapango. And Karen has been a frequent guest on Indie Media Live, and it's wonderful to have you back again today, Dr. Davis.
Thank you, Rebecca. It's a joy to be back on your show.
How is everything going? I know that you have a lot of campaigns in the works, and you've been all around the country on different radio shows and all kinds of things happening in Washington. Can you give us an update?
Well, one of the big things we've been doing recently is promoting International Respect for Chickens Day, May 4th, and we have declared the entire month of May International Respect for Chickens Month. And one of the big things we have done this year is to run huge bus posters throughout the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area that says, what wings are for, go vegan. And we have a beautiful image of chickens on our bus poster. We have a rooster who's right here from our own sanctuary, and a large baby chicken, rescued from a Purdue factory under the wing of his foster mother. And we want to show people how beautiful chickens are through our bus posters and how important it is not to eat them and to really choose a vegetarian, by which I mean vegan, diet for compassion, for personal well-being and health, and for the environment.
What has been the response to these bus posters?
Well, we've heard from quite a lot of people. We've gotten some new donations and members, and the general response, well, we've not gotten any negative responses. All of the responses that we've received have been positive and thumbs up. So we know that we encourage people who are considering going vegetarian and who care about animals and want to help them and know how much suffering farmed animals endure to become a food source. We encourage those people and give them confidence that there is a strong movement afoot in this country to bring this world of compassion, peace, health, and well-being about. And our bus posters, they're so beautiful, and they're such a lively combination of colors and happy images that we know that they help people to get that in their mind, which we want to be part of, getting that positive idea of being vegan and caring about animals into their mind, and we want to say also into their shopping cart as well.
If you've just tuned in, this is Indie Media Live, and we're talking with Dr. Karen Davis from United Poultry Concerns. One of the most important reasons that LaShante and Tim and I and all the other volunteers at WRIR put so much time and effort into bringing Indie Media Live to the air every week is to help ourselves and our listeners connect the dots. Each of us is more powerful than we might think, and three times a day and snacks in between, we all make choices that really have an impact on the environment. We're hearing so much now about this outbreak of super strength superbug E. coli, and it seems like the fruits and veggies have been really getting a bum rap, Karen.
Absolutely. It's a really bum rap for fruits and vegetables because they are not the source of these bacterial infections. These bacteria, that would be E. coli as well as Salmonella and Campylobacter, originate in the intestines of animals, including humans. We have all of these in our own bodies, but they do not originate on fruits and vegetables, so that if you hear that, for example, spinach or peanuts or cantaloupe or tomatoes are responsible for making people sick with E. coli or Salmonella or Campylobacter, people need to understand that this produce, these vegetables and fruits, did not originate these bacteria. That these bacteria originated in farmed animals, and particularly in the huge industrialized factory farms where the excrement is used for fertilizer, and in particular there is a lot of water runoff from these farms into the land, into the soil, and which of course gets into the produce that is being grown, the crops. And so when these crops are identified as the source of people getting sick from, say, E. coli, as we're now hearing about, everybody needs to understand it is not those crops. It is those unfortunate animals who are congregated in these filthy feedlots and these filthy chicken and turkey houses where there are like thousands and thousands of these birds crowded together, also the huge pig factories, and that these are the sources of these bacterial infections that people are getting. So it's not the fruits and vegetables. That is completely untrue. And we know that when there is a discussion in the newspaper or on the radio or even on television newscasts, what the commentators tend to do is to disguise the actual true original source of these bacterial infections in order to keep people in the dark about the fact that it is animals. It's not animals' fault. It's just that they are being raised in such horrific ways to satisfy this huge meat consumption and also, of course, eggs and dairy products. And so they are sick animals, and they are living in filth, and the amount of manure that they produce is so enormous that there's never been anything like such a huge production of manure in the entire history of the world until starting in the mid-20th century. So these are the sources, the original primal sources of these bacterial infections, and fruits and vegetables do not create or multiply these infectious pathogens, that is, these infectious disease-causing organisms. They come from these animals who are sick, overcrowded, and forced to live against their will in total filth so that humans can eat their body products, including their flesh, their eggs, and their milk.
I know the last time I checked, peppers and bean sprouts don't have intestines.
Exactly. And in fact, Dr. Neil Barnard wrote an excellent op-ed a couple of years ago about this issue when we were hearing that we should stop eating peanuts because peanuts were somehow responsible for, I believe it was it Salmonella, whatever it was. As he explained in his commentary online, he said that these products such as spinach, being pulled off the shelves because of E. coli, or tomatoes being pulled off the shelves because of Salmonella or Campylobacter, is just plain hogwash, really, literally. Salmonella and E. coli, as he explains, and he's a medical doctor, although it doesn't take a medical doctor to know this, are intestinal bacteria, he writes. Spinach have no intestines, and neither do tomatoes, and neither do peanuts. Nor does lettuce, nor does any vegetable crop or fruit tree create and generate and multiply these organisms. We are looking at animal production as the primary source, which is leaching into the groundwater, leaching into the soil, and whose manure is used to raise these crops.
I'd like our listeners to know that Dr. Neil Barnard is the president of Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Karen, you've touched on so many points. I'd like to go back and look at some of them. You spoke for a minute about hog manure, and I know all of this is very difficult to talk about. It's not easy to talk about, but it's such an important subject and becomes more and more so as these bugs become more and more virulent. Hog manure has 10 to 100 times the number of pathogens than human waste, and yet the manure from these hog farms is not treated. Animal waste not only contains pathogens, but it can also contain heavy metals, antibiotics, ammonia, nitrates, and other chemicals. I know it's hard to imagine, and I checked and double-checked as I was doing the research for the show today. We in the United States slaughter more than 10 billion conscious feeling others for no other reason than habit or our palates every year. And those animals generate more than 2 trillion pounds of urine and feces. And that is just a staggering amount. How we think that it wouldn't get into the water supply or into the air, into the rest of the environment, I can't imagine.
That's exactly right. You can't imagine how it wouldn't, because it does, because there's just such a huge amount of it. And when you consider, too, that we, you and I and those of us in Virginia and Maryland and Delaware, we are living in one of the most, an area of the United States, which is one of the biggest concentrations of chickens and turkeys, particularly chickens, in the United States at any given time on this very small landmass known as the Eastern Shore of Virginia, Delaware, all of Delaware, and the Eastern Shore of Maryland, has at any given time a half a billion chickens sealed up in dark, filthy houses that are scattered around by the thousands all over the Eastern Shore. And so we know that that these chickens pollute the Chesapeake Bay. And we've been hearing about this for years and years, even decades. Occasionally an article will appear in the Washington Post, or I don't know about the Virginian Pilot or the Richmond Times-Dispatch, but certainly the Washington Post has carried articles from time to time, very extensive articles about the destruction of the Chesapeake Bay by the poultry industry down here, and yet nothing really seems to get done. In fact, 2 years ago, there was a huge NPR show, Frontline, which was dedicated to exposing the effect of the Delmarva poultry industry, the chicken industry, on the destruction of the Chesapeake Bay. So you think, well, that was 2 years ago, it was a big expose, and yet somehow things seem to just go on as usual. And I do want to point out for people who want to know, what is the source of the foodborne bacteria that makes so many people sick with intestinal cramps and diarrhea and all of these infections that a lot of people call stomach flu, but it's actually foodborne bacterial infections. But here's what the USDA says, quote, the U.S. Department of Agriculture. foods most likely to carry pathogens, that is, disease-causing microorganisms like E. coli and Salmonella and Campylobacter. Foods most likely to carry pathogens are high-protein, non-acid foods such as meat, poultry, seafood, dairy products, and eggs. So this is the U.S. Department of Agriculture stating this as a fact, which is it is a fact, and yet, and despite the fact that the United States Department of Agriculture is one of the hugest promoters of all animal product consumption and production in the world. And yet, when you read through some of their literature, then you find statements such as this, which is their acknowledgement that foods most likely to make people sick are meat, poultry, seafood, dairy products, and eggs.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Indie Media Live. I'm your host, Rebecca Ferris, and I'm talking with Dr. Karen Davis, the founder and president of United Poultry Concerns. She's also an author. So, Karen, can you give us a little bit of information from the new revision of your book, Prison Chickens, Poisoned Eggs?
Yes, well, certainly anybody who has ever gone into a chicken house, such as we have all over the Eastern Shore down here, sees these birds are being raised in the most filthy conditions you can imagine. It's not their fault. They're captive. They cannot escape. But one of the things, for example, that has happened since my book came out in 1996 is the enclosure of these chickens in sealed-up houses, which are known as tunnel ventilation houses. And what this means is that from like the 60s, 70s, 80s into the 90s, in areas like the Eastern Shore, which has a pretty nice climate, the birds were placed in these football field-long houses, 600-foot-long houses, but they would still occasionally roll down the canvas curtains, or they would have some type of screening so that on a nice day like this, at least some fresh air and some sunlight were coming into the houses. But now they have the houses completely sealed up. If you drive down here on the Eastern Shore of Virginia, where we're located, and even go off on any of the back roads, you're going to see house after house, which you wouldn't even know contained chickens unless you knew what you were looking at, because they're all sealed up. And they've got like this black strip all around where these windows used to be. And the birds are basically in the dark with just enough light to keep them eating and eating and eating. And then at 6 weeks of age, these baby birds, who are the size of small turkeys, with all the suffering that that entails for them, are shipped off to the slaughter plants to undergo horrific electric shocks by the industry, which intentionally keeps them alive while they are having their necks cut, and then while they are bleeding out in the what they call the bleed-out tunnels. And then often millions go into the scald tanks, that is the boiling hot water. While they're still alive, conscious, and breathing, their eyeballs pop out of their heads. All of this has been recorded, and this is the kind of information that I incorporate into my book, along with much other information, to give people a really clear, detailed understanding of what they are actually purchasing and consuming when they see these products from which the actual process of production has been erased and effaced, but all of this is incorporated into what they are putting into their mouth and into their system. And we ask people, why would anybody want to make themselves or their children out of so much misery? Because every mouthful is a mouthful of pure 100% misery. When you are eating a piece of chicken or turkey or an egg or even the dairy industry, we now know, is horrific. So many undercover investigations have shown how cruelly dairy cows are treated, how miserably their calves are treated. There is nothing good about meat production or egg or dairy production anywhere, and it has become a worldwide phenomenon. And one of the things, I mean, the huge industrialization of all these birds and other animals to meet the consumer demands throughout the world. Fortunately, as I bring out in Prison Chickens, Poisoned Eggs, there is a counter move which is growing very, very, you know, not fast enough, but which is growing well, that is recognizing and urging a vegan diet because of the animals, because of what we're learning about the terrible health effects of eating an animal-based diet, And because we're learning that animal production is just one of the hugest causes of global warming, of production of methane gases, there just isn't anything good to say at all about animal production anymore. Not that there ever was, but now in particular, we are looking at some serious global impacts that are going to cause harm to human beings in the increasing years. As we continue to increase our population, we're going to have more health problems, we're going to have more planetary pollution problems, and of course we're going to have vastly more animal suffering and abuse as long as we continue on this dietary rampage of animal products. But already we're starting to see that more and more people are beginning to question their diet and change their diet to a more compassionate and more rational and caring diet. And that's what we are promoting, and that's what I'm promoting in my book, Prison Chickens, Poisoned Eggs. So there's the positive message, which comes on the heels of the negative message. And that's what we want people to know, what is really going on and what we can all do to make a positive difference for our fellow creatures on this earth, both human and animal, as well as for the earth itself.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Indie Media Live. I'm Rebecca Ferris, talking with Dr. Karen Davis of United Poultry Concerns, upc-online.org. Karen, in the few minutes that we have left, I would like to talk about the positive. I know that there is a huge groundswell of people cutting back on their meat consumption and choosing live, healthful, colorful food. And with the Vegetarian Festival happening in Richmond this weekend, it's a great time to talk about some of the benefits of veganism.
Well, let's see. First of all, when you eat a vegan diet, you're going to get all the protein you need. There's this myth that somehow protein is to be found only in animal products, meat, milk, and eggs, cheese, whatnot. But that is a complete falsehood. So people eating a vegan diet, as long as they're eating a nice mixture of beans, the meat analogs if they like, there are all kinds of vegan meat-like wonderful foods available increasingly, fruits, grains, seeds, all kinds of vegetables. As long as they're eating, did I say nuts? Because almonds are a very good source of calcium, for example. And all of these wonderful foods that can be eaten, as unprocessed as possible, that makes them the most nutritious. But even in processed forms, you're going to get all the protein you need. Tofu is very high in protein, and it can be just made into so many wonderful stir fries and everything. You're going to have a healthy diet. If you eat a vegan diet, you don't have to worry about cholesterol. And again, we have so many foods available to us, delicious, wholesome, healthy vegan foods in virtually every supermarket, even down here on the Eastern Shore where we're located, which, as I said, is a big poultry-producing part of the country. Increasingly, in our local Food Lion, there are all kinds of vegan foods. There are vegan meatballs. There are vegan cream cheese, vegan sour cream, tofurkey products, which are totally vegan, like turkey-like slices. They're available here. So what we're seeing is more and more vegan products, tasty, healthful, very low fat or no fat, appearing in supermarkets where once upon a time, even a few years ago, you would have never seen these products. What that means is that more and more consumers are asking for these products for ethical reasons, for health reasons, because they're becoming more informed about the effects upon the planet of all this poultry and animal production. So we're seeing trends which are very, very encouraging, even at our own local supermarket. Things that we didn't see a few years ago, suddenly every type of soy milk, almond milk, rice milk. It's just amazing. I can eat really, really a wonderful, totally vegan, varied diet just by going up to our local Food Lion, which is a big supermarket chain here that, again, a few years ago, you didn't see these products, and now there are quite a lot of these products there. So, and the more people buy them, the more they'll appear. That's another thing.
Well said, Karen. Thank you so much. I'm celebrating 41 years this year of not having eaten meat, and what I do is pay attention to the color. I call it eating the rainbow, and I just make sure that I have lots of red and green and yellow and shades of white and brown and purple and pink, and it's just a great way to go, and I feel wonderful. And I want to remind everybody that the Richmond Vegetarian Festival is this weekend, noon till 6 in Bryan Park, and veggiefest.org. If you want to find out more about prison chickens, poisoned eggs, or the work of Dr. Karen Davis and the United Poultry Concerns, upc-online.org. To all of the wonderful volunteers at WRIR who make Indie Media Live possible, I want to say thank you, and thank you to all of you for listening. Until next week, be kind to yourselves, be kind to the animals and to the planet, but don't be silent, because silence is the voice of complicity. We wish you peace.
Last night I dreamed that the world had turned around. All our hopes had come to be, and people gathered around. They all brought what they could bring, and nobody went with that. Other than a song to sing, the revolution starts now.